Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. In a world where convenience reigns supreme, modernizing the payments experience is paramount for any business. Customer expectations have evolved rapidly, and any friction in the payment process can lead to lost sales and frustrated customers. Joining me today to explore the common pain points in the payment experience and how they can impact customer satisfaction and loyalty is Suma Chaudhuri, Vice President of Revenue at CSG Forte, Javon Watson, Executive Director of Strategic Business at CSG Forte, and Dan Key, Senior Analyst of Merchant Services at Javelin Strategy and Research. Our expert panel will share practical strategies that merchants can adopt to decrease friction and payment interactions, making transactions smoother and enjoyable for customers. Thank you all for being here today. You know, we've all heard how critical creating a frictionless payments experience is, but before we get into what that looks like, Suma, can you speak first to what's creating friction in the payer experience today?
Sure, Rima, thank you. You know, that's a great question. I think friction occurs at many, many different points in the payment journey. And when you think about prior to making a payment, while you're making a payment, and even post-payment, there's plenty of areas where friction can occur. So what I would say is that I would encourage businesses to think about payments as a journey and not just as a point in time event. Customers today want choices when it comes to making a payment. You know, they want choice of payment methods, they want choice of channel, they want choice of timing. So when you start to offer fewer choices in these areas of payment methods, channels, and timing, it results in inconvenience, which thereby increases the chance of errors or missed payments, and thereby decreasing the customer satisfaction overall. The other point of friction that I would talk about is as you're making the payment, there's always top of mind concern with payers about fraud. And in today's post-COVID world, the data shows that about 60% of call center agents are working from home on average at a given business. So the real question then becomes, how do you secure your personal information as you're calling a call center agent and giving them that credit card information over the phone? So PCI compliance is a huge top of mind topic for many businesses, because a business can get fined in some cases about $500,000 for each breach incident. So this probability of fraud causes many payers to be wary of making payments via some channels, leading to friction in the process. And then one last point of friction that I want to mention is in post-payments. Data shows that there are two main questions that arise post-payment. One, the customer asking, did the payment go through? And secondly, the business wanting to know when they're going to get paid. And the reality is that due to these silos of back office systems, both these pieces of data are not instantly available in many instances, leading to a lot of anxiety of managing cash flow for the business.
Great insights by Suman. Definitely double click on all of those things. I might just delve into a couple more of those. So you touched on the whole online shopping experience and the checkout process. I think one of the things that's causing friction is just the checkout process being clunky. And what I mean by that is really requiring the customer to input more data than is absolutely necessary when you look at it from an e-commerce environment. Understandably, a lot of companies are trying to create repeat customers, and so they are asking for customers to create accounts, right? They want their address, they want their phone number, they want their social, they want their dog's name. All that's great, and it's a good idea. They want to be able to market to them. They want to be able to send out the latest and greatest gadget, new shoe, makeup. They want to be able to send out coupons. They're trying to create repeat customers. But on the other end of it, there might be some customers like me at times where I just want to buy the shoes, right? I don't want to enter in all that information. So if you're absolutely requiring me to do that, not offering a guest checkout, then I might just simply abandon my cart altogether and you never see me again. So that's part of it. I think the other is just supporting one or two payment methods. So credit card is kind of the main, but you know, other payment methods, whether it's ACH or digital wallet. So the absence of those options of how to pay also are some things that create friction at the e-commerce level. Suman touched on security. And I think in kind of e-commerce environment, you know, redirecting the customer to another website or window. Again, I may trust the website that I'm on, but now if I just see this switch and I see that now there's a different URL there, it's a website that I'm unfamiliar with. Now I get a little bit leery. I feel uncomfortable. I don't know if I want to enter in my information on that website. So those are some things I think on kind of the e-commerce online shopping experience. When it comes to submitting invoices, I think part of what's causing friction is just the lack of various invoice delivery channels. You know, some companies are still just using snail mail. And so it's creating friction for the company because you have all of this extra expense to design the invoice, to send out the invoice. postage. And then when I receive it on my end of it, now I actually have to either call the number to make a payment. I have to figure out actually what's being asked of me to pay versus perhaps sending it to me via email. I check my email more often, or even better, maybe sending it to me via text message. And again, the format being very, very clear, you know, is it very clear as to what I'm being billed for, why I'm being billed, when did this service or action even happen, especially if I'm being billed months after the actual service or surgery or whatever happened. And so again, all of those things, if it's not very clear, you're not giving me very many payment options, it's going to create friction or some frustration on my end, at the very least delay when I'm making that payment. And the other two things I'll just touch on is cash flow availability. I've received the invoice. I want to pay you. However, I don't have maybe the bill, my utility bill, my surgery, my medical bill. It's much larger than I expected it to be. So I'd love to pay you, but I don't have the funds available to do that right now. So are you giving me the availability to pay in installments, or are you offering a buy now, pay later? If not, well then, A, I'm not going to be able to fulfill that particular obligation. And then again, on the company's end of it, it's going to delay getting paid, if at all. And then lastly, it's not so much friction, I would say, at the customer end of it, where it's causing friction for the customer, but the companies themselves, the friction on their end of it is maybe they would like to offer all of these options, but they simply don't have the technical resources or the capital, right, to be able to offer it to their customers. So again, those are just a few of the things that I see that's causing real friction in the payment experience and really the more overall customer experience today.
One I really want to emphasize is the need to offer enough and the right payment methods for consumers and customers. Customers want to be able to pay the way they want to pay. It's really important to them. It's very frustrating when they can't, and they may abandon a transaction altogether or at least be very frustrated. And checkout's never been more fragmented, where there's credit cards, debit cards, ACH, BNPL, digital wallets, and a lot of different digital wallets, and more options showing up every day. And merchants and businesses don't need to offer each and every one, but they need to offer enough to give customers the right variety of options. Otherwise, it will really, really bother customers in a way that is really challenging to a business.
I have personal experience, but ties into the Engage platform and the customer experience side of it. So I received a bill. It was a medical bill, and I will give them credit. It actually told me how much was due, why it was due. Now, this was something, was service that was rented over a year ago. So that was one thing. And I'll give them some credit. They actually had a QR code on there. So I was like, okay, hey, great. I'll scan the QR code. Well, first of all, the QR code, and I have a pretty decent phone. It's not a BlackBerry. It's a pretty new iPhone. I couldn't get the QR code to scan. I mean, it was the size of like a pinhead. But actually, once I got and signed the QR code, it took me to a website that was just kind of, it wasn't personalized to me. And I think that this is typically what happens. So now it's asking me to enter in my customer number, my bill number, what have you, some of which was on the invoice, some of which was not. Again, this was a service that was rendered over a year ago. So now I'm searching all over for it. I couldn't find the information. So needless to say, I was frustrated. And if I'm looking at it right now, the bill, needless to say, the bill was not paid. It's actually sitting in my I'll get to it later pile. So again, I think things like that we talked about earlier, you know, delivering a clear invoice, giving me multiple payment options, again, whether it be a credit card, QR code was a step up. But again, wouldn't it have been better if when I scan that QR code, instead of taking me to a blank website where, again, to Dan's point, I have to enter in a bunch of information already, it's taking it to my personalized bill that's specific to me. That would have reduced the friction. Again, that's one thing that we have available today with the Forte Engage solution. And I think, again, more and more companies, they look at it from the personalized level, can't be all things to everybody, but to Dan said, kind of the right payment methods and the right format, again, meeting the payer when and how and where they want to pay, marrying that customer experience with the payments journey, again, that would be a tremendous improvement from what we have today.
You've all spoken about the friction that merchants are experiencing. I'm sure merchants are listening in on this podcast. So for them and for everyone else out there, what strategies can they really use to decrease friction in this process? Javon, I'll start with you. If you can offer any tactics that you're seeing that will be beneficial to merchants.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really just addressing those things we talked about with the initial question. I recently read some report that about 70% of consumers or customers are abandoning their cart simply because the checkout process was too long or complicated. There were too many hurdles. They didn't know what to do. So simplifying that process again, right? Yep. You want them to be able to set up an account, but are you offering things like guest checkout? things like that can help out. That would result in less cart abandonment. When it comes to your invoices, make sure that the invoices that you're delivering are extremely clear. Making your site mobile, it kind of sounds like, isn't that like so 2000? But there are still some companies where their site is just optimized for desktop. And again, now with more people working from home, maybe that works, but I venture to say that more and more people are on the go. They're not sitting behind a desktop or a laptop. So again, I may want to make a payment online, but if it's not optimized for my new iPhone or Google phone or whatever people are using these days, again, it's going to cause frustration and I'm not going to make that payment. And even in the e-commerce environment, I saw a recent report that it said about 42% of all e-commerce sales would come by a mobile device by 2024. Now, maybe it's even higher than that, but probably not far off. So optimizing your site for mobile. Dan spoke about it, and I double down on that. Simply offer more payment options. So yes, credit card. Most people have a credit card. Are you offering things like ACH? Are you offering things like digital wallets? And even digital wallets, right, there's more and more that are coming online. There's Apple Pay, there's Google Pay, there's Samsung Pay and Venmo, and the list just goes on and on. And especially in this kind of post-COVID, post-pandemic environment, alternative payment methods, whether it be online or even in person when it comes to like contactless payments, has increased. I don't know what the figure is, but many times what it was before. And I think also things like tokenization and recurring payments. People like the Cheers experience. You know, they want to go where people know their name. And so, you know, if I have to keep going to that same website and every time, like I'm a repeat customer, I come in every month, I'm paying my utility bill, and every single time I have to whip out my card and type in my address and type in my credit card number, that gets old. So simply offering something like recurring payments in a secure environment is tokenized, where I can set it once, I can set up recurring payments, right? It makes me feel good. It's a benefit to the company because they know the payments are going to be made. Those are a few strategies. And then the last thing I'll just touch on that I think directly addresses cash flow availability is offering things like installment payments or buy now, pay later. It really, especially in the installment payments, it doesn't take very much to set up. But again, as a customer, I feel like at least I fulfilled my obligation, even if it's going to take place over time. There's some solutions like ours where they could even set like a Outlook or an iPhone calendar reminder. So as a consumer, I don't forget that that payment is going to be coming out of my checking account or is going to be deducted from my credit or debit card. And then again, as the company, you can actually project your revenue or your income or your accounts receivable when it's actually going to come in and not delaying your actual revenue. So again, those are just a few things that lead to a better customer experience, you know, repeat customers, but at the end of the day, it leads to increased revenue at the merchant level.
Javon, those were great tactics that you shared. And surprising, yet not surprising, that a lot of people still don't have an efficient mobile experience and are still taking consumers to desktop experiences. Suman, I'd love to hear any tactics that you're seeing that are really relevant to merchants right now.
Sure, Rima. I would reiterate the importance of what I was mentioning earlier, which is think of payments as a journey. And how can you not only remove friction from that payment journey, but how do you digitize that journey in cases where the customer is calling into a call center, for example, or mailing you a check, both of which can be very, very frustrating customer experience for them. So how can you channel switch those customers into a digital journey and increase customer satisfaction by capturing a good working phone number and address? And thereby, you increase your chances at the end of the day of proactively reaching out to that customer prior to that next payment due date. And as part of this journey orchestration, I would also encourage businesses to think about fallbacks. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's take an example. So what happens today if you mail a bill to a customer or you mail an invoice to a customer and it gets lost in the mail or the customer never opens it? They enter a late payment situation like Javon was mentioning earlier, which, you know, basically creates additional fees for the customer, reduces customer satisfaction, increases your call center volume. So do you have a mechanism today of sending them an email if the mail is not delivered? Or if they don't open that email, can you text them? So you've got to think about fallbacks so that at the end of the day, you can try to maximize on-time payments. And all these considerations need to be thought through and enabled as part of that holistic payment journey that I was talking about. The second sort of tactic I would say, and this comes to fraud and PCI compliance, is a lot of companies today are thinking about what can I do to remove the burden of holding onto that personal information and how can I move that responsibility back to the buyer? How do you take that call center agent out of that equation, but at the same time, offer up real-time payment updates to that agent? Our Forte Engage product has NanoSight technology that allows businesses to do just that. By sending a payment link to the customer's channel of choice, the customer sees a custom payment page on their phone or computer with all the pre-filled data for their payment. The customer can then choose their method of payment, whether that's ACH or credit card or digital wallets that we were talking about earlier. They can also choose the frequency of the payment and any other relevant details, and all that information is shielded from the call center agent. So I would say these are just some of the other ways that I would add that we can remove friction from the process.
Dan, you've covered this space quite a lot in your reports. Are you seeing something similar in terms of the strategies?
Absolutely. You know, I think one thing that merchants are not always keeping in mind, it's very difficult to eliminate all friction from an initial purchase from a customer. You have to input some information somewhere because you've never shopped there before. But I think what merchants often don't think about is that how much consumers who are returning are expecting none of that friction again. When they come back after the first time, they want to be remembered fully. They can accept logging in, but the payment information, shipping information, what they've ordered before, any other information needs to be there, very easy to access, as few clicks as possible, or you're not going to build a loyal customer. It's one thing to get someone to convert the first time they come around, which is great. But in order to get them to keep coming back and coming back and coming back, all the future times need to leverage the advantage that you built by getting them through the first time to make it as easy as possible so they keep coming back. And I think there needs to be more thought into how to make that process as easy as possible, as frictionless as possible, once they've already inputted their information once.
You've all equipped merchants with the strategies that they need to really consider what needs to be top of mind. The next step is really implementing those strategies. Javon, to start off with you, how can merchants implement these strategies that you've all spoken about to really have a large impact on the customer experience, but at the same time, not a huge impact to their roadmap and resources?
Yeah, no, such a good question. Because I venture to say, maybe there's some merchants or companies on one end of the spectrum that they've heard the reports, maybe they even listen to this podcast and they say, hogwash, I'm just going to keep doing business the way that I want to do it. I don't care about friction. But I would say that that's probably the minority. I think most companies either A, know they have friction, or speaking to a company like ourselves here at CSG Forte, or listen to this podcast, some of the reports that have put out, say, I want to improve it, but I have an issue. I have, again, two things. I don't have the technical resources, or I don't have the capital. So one of the things that I would encourage is partnering with a company like CSG Forte, who has already done the legwork. They already have the platform, and you can utilize one of our low-code or no-code solutions. So it's more plug-and-play or drag-and-drop tools to eliminate the need for traditional developers who write code, and all of the expense and timeline that comes with that. With our current platform and especially our new enhancement, we can implement either all of these strategies or a la carte, depending on the business's needs and kind of how far along they are in improving this digital journey or customer experience. We can implement it in 4 to 6 days versus 4 to 6 months. And so with very little impact to technical resources, there might be a small investment monthly or recurring cost. But the upside of it is a huge impact to conversion rates, less shopping cart abandonment. The customer experience improves. You're able to get those repeat customers. You save on labor costs, process efficiencies, and ultimately it increases the revenue that companies will see. So that low code, no code, and a partnership with a company like CSG Forte, I think is important.
Thanks, Javon. Suman, what are the best first steps that merchants can take to really implement these strategies that you've spoken about and also increase their revenue at the same time?
As I think about it from a business perspective, the holy grail for any business when it comes to payments, in my mind, there's really 4 key areas. The first thing is I want to be able to have my customer make on-time payments. So I want fewer abandoned or forgotten payments from my customer. And the best way to do that is to get them on that digital journey that we're talking about, where you can send them reminders via the channel of their choice. And then in addition, the question is, how are you leveraging analytics to communicate with different customer segments at the right time during the month? All of those things are going to help improve your chances of making on-time payments. That's the first step of the Holy Grail. The second step is, now that I've reminded them of the on-time payments, I want increased approval rates for the payments for my customer, especially in card-not-present scenarios. I've worked so hard as a business to digitize that payment journey and get my customer to make a payment, but what good is it if I can't get the payment to go through the first time? So then the next question is, how do I use analytics to better understand what sort of payment methods have higher approval rates in different scenarios? The third part is, how do I optimize my own costs and fees as a business to maximize what I keep from the payment that the customer just made? How do I use sophisticated low-cost routing for maximum cost savings? That's the third. And then for the final piece, which is very, very important, all of this stuff is great, but I don't have a small army of developers to make all this happen. So back to Javon's point, I would love to do all of those three things that Suman is talking about, but how do I leverage a company like Forte that has that low-code, no-code, drag-and-drop interface, API-first approach to stand this up within days and not months?
Dan, Suman, and Javon gave a lot of food for thought in terms of like what implementation can look like for merchants. You know, again, you've written a lot about this in your reports. Is there anything else that really stood out to you? Any words of advice for those listening in?
I mean, honestly, I would go back to what Javon and Suman said about the importance of low-code and no-code solutions. Merchants are not payments experts. They are not engineering experts. They are merchants. They are focused on selling and running their businesses effectively. And they don't have the time or know-how largely to do complex payments adjustments and integrations. So having them be simple and fast is really incredibly important, because otherwise they won't get used or they won't get used correctly. So your merchants really need it to be as simple as possible for them to really maximize the impact that additional offerings can have.
As we come to an end, I'd like you all to just take out your crystal ball as we take a look into the future. What do you predict will improve the payments experience more in the next year or so? Suman, I'm going to start off with you first.
Yeah, thanks. For me, I think it's AI and analytics. AI and analytics is impacting every aspect of our lives, and I see it playing a huge role in payments as well. From increasing on-time payments to offering up insights to businesses on what to cross-sell or upsell to their customers, to fraud detection, and even creating personalized customer experiences and offers, there are some really exciting opportunities in my mind for businesses to drive additional revenue. So let's just take AI in the space of predictive analytics. So AI algorithms can leverage these predictive analytics to assess your credit worthiness, for example, enable more accurate credit scoring and risk assessment for loans and other financial transactions that I want to engage with you as my customer. AI can also analyze customer data to personalize the payment experience and offer tailored suggestions or tailored discounts or payment plans based on individual preferences and behaviors that I'm gleaning from your activity online. And lastly, I would say AI can help prevent fraud by analyzing user behavior and including how users interact with online platforms, their typical spending patterns, and the devices that they use. And then any sudden changes that I notice can be flagged as potential indicators of fraud. So I think AI and analytics is going to impact payments in a huge way in the coming few years.
Thanks, Suman. AI is definitely tech that everyone is looking at right now. You know, Javon, you also spoke about how crucial the customer experience is and the need to really focus and hone in on it. What do you predict in the next year or so?
Yeah, for sure. I think what's going to make the best impact is give the people what they want. And so we've identified all of these friction points and areas that cause friction. I think it's companies responding to that. So one thing is expanding their offerings. We talked a lot about options, options, options. So again, meeting the payer when and where and how they want to pay. So you're doing IVR, great. Is that only outbound or is that only inbound? Have you thought about adding outbound IVR to your stack where, you know, I love to pay you. I was getting ready to call in. I just got a call. I just hopped on a podcast. I'm not able to make that payment right now. But if you call me back in 30 minutes, I'd be happy to. Again, okay, you're doing credit card. Are you doing ACH? Have you added in digital wallets? Again, the more options, I think the better in this space. And then I go back to something that Suman said that I think is really, really important. You started off with is not just looking at payments as like a point in time, but really taking a look at it as a journey. I think, again, something like our, you know, Forte Engage solution really marries the payments experience with the customer experience. So not just giving them options to pay, but in terms of predictive analysis of, you know, declined payments, being able to communicate with the customer in that what if scenario. So what if there is a decline? Are you able to communicate with that customer more quickly when it comes to, you know, text messages or email messages, things of that nature? So I think just really focusing in on the overall journey, kind of marrying customer experience with the payment offering. And then two, not just taking a look at your clients, but ultimately taking a look at what are your clients' clients' needs. That's what we're talking about. It's like Forte, right? Yes, we're taking a look at our partners and our ISVs, but ultimately what we're talking about is that end user, that consumer, what's going to be best for them in making the payment. Because if we can solve for that, then the ISV or the middleman and a company like a Forte or any other payments provider, then we win. So those are just a couple of things.
Thanks, Sean. Dan, where do you see the future, especially elevating, you know, the payments experience?
We've talked a lot about the importance of having a wide selection of payment methods available, and that's definitely true. But what I'm really looking for is giving customers the right selection for them, because you don't want to overwhelm a consumer with 18 different digital wallets. You want to give them the right few for them to pick from. And I think that's something where it could be AI, it could be something else, where you can dynamically change checkout where they are served digital wallets, BNPL, credit and debit will always be there based on the purchase, whether it's based on geography, what is popular in that particular country, or is it a really large purchase? Maybe some kind of installment plan would be more appropriate than it would be on a smaller purchase. Things like that, where you're not forcing consumers to face down a ton of buttons, but just a few buttons, but you're getting them the right ones. And you don't need to cut them off from the other ones, but at least prioritizing the ones that are the right match. I think that is something where it's not only availability, but the right choices will be really important for making checkout much less full of friction as it is now.
Thank you all for sharing your insights and perspective and for providing best practices on modernizing the payments experience and staying ahead in today's competitive marketplace. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.